I'd like now to welcome Ben Swan back to the program. He's with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, and we've had you on quite a bit lately, and I think it's very important during the holiday season and during the winter season to just talk a little bit extra about our dogs and cats and animals. Welcome.
Hi, Mary Charlotte. Thank you for having me back. I love talking with you and talking to the community about our great pets at the shelter and what we can do to keep them nice and warm, especially this time of year.
Well, what can we do to keep them nice and warm at this time of year?
Well, there's lots of things. First off, you know those great little jackets and paw boots and things like that? They're not just fashion for a lot of dogs. They're a necessity, especially this time of year.
There's a Mexican hairless dog that is a dark color who goes to the dog park, and he's got a very classy suit on. And he looks great. And a dog that's especially a hairless dog, there aren't very many of them, at least that I've seen in the dog park. But I'll tell you what, if you've got a hairless dog or even a short-haired dog, be careful.
I know that dog. I love that dog.
That's a great dog.
Yeah. She is Delilah, I think is her name. She looked exactly like my dog, Beta. And so every time I see her, I just remember Beta and give her a big hug and warm her up a little bit because she's always cold. But she does have a great outfit. Anyway, I wanted to mention the fact that those... You know, just because a dog has fur doesn't mean they're going to be warm. Domestic animals.
Unless it's a husky.
Unless, yeah, definitely. If they have
that
undercoat in there, you can tell. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're fine. Usually outside, you know, I'm from Alaska, so I'm used to having a lot of dogs or seeing dogs, sled dogs outside. But they're protected as well. I mean, they do have the fur, but they've got every single unit, you know, they've got their doghouse, and it's adequately supplied to make them make sure that they're warm. And that's what we really want to encourage. First off, we want to encourage people, if they have dogs and cats, keep them inside when it's really, really cold and wet. Because it's easy for them to hypothermia, and it's, you know, they can get ice, you know, their paws can get caught with mud and ice, as you know. So it's important that if you can keep them inside, please do. And especially if there's a storm going on, they can easily get lost.
Yeah, so take them on their wonderful walks, and then when you're done, take them inside. And guess what? Yeah, they'll get a little bit of mud on the front room, but they'll lick themselves off pretty quick.
I try to train my dogs to when they come into the house to, you know, just sort of scruff their feet or paws, but didn't quite work. There are some things that you can get, doggy washes that they can step in and stuff like that, and that helps. But really, you know, watch out for what you're walking in and clean their paws off before they come into your house and jump on your couch, like I'm sure you let them, or your bed.
I have to say, I saw a YouTube, somebody put it on my Facebook, of dogs in Australia that they taught to drive because it was an animal shelter that basically wanted to show people that these mutts in the animal shelter were a lot smarter than anybody thought. And they had these, it took about 10 weeks or something, but they had these dogs actually steering cars.
I can't believe it.
But, I know.
You know, every dog is an individual, and every dog has its ability. So, and every cat as well, just like every person. So I'm not surprised that a dog can drive a car.
You wouldn't want to just put it in the car without somebody giving it commands. Because they would say, turn, 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 turn.
They would try to make the car turn three times around before it rested, right?
Chased its tail lights.
Exactly. So in addition to, you know, cleaning the paws off when they come in, you know, I think some people think that if they leave their dog in a car, that protects them. But, like, in the winter, especially when it's very cold, the car can act like a refrigerator and actually even be more extremely cold than...
That is so true. Ed, this is the time of year, if you're going to leave your car and dog in the car, first of all, don't do it for very long. Do it only during the day and leave the car in direct sun.
Very good, yeah. Because it gets cold when the sun goes behind those buildings or even behind
right.
the hills.
But if your car is in direct sun in the Trader Joe's parking lot or in the Santa Fe Baking Company, you're okay for
you're
a little
okay
while.
You're okay for a while, yeah, for a cup of coffee, definitely. So, and, you know, I would provide a place inside the house where your dog can get our cat can be warm, like a dog bed or a blanket someplace in a corner, or I have a little, some dogs just like a timeout.
Or on the couch next to you.
Or on the couch next to you, yeah. That's our favorite place every time I come home from work. There's four dogs all around me and one on my shoulder. And a couple of birds flying around, but that's
really?
Just my, yeah.
Do the dogs try to eat the birds?
You know, they did initially, like when Joaquin actually flew into my dog's mouth accidentally, and Zach was so surprised, he just looked at me and said, what am I supposed to do?
Don't eat it.
Don't eat it. And he said, okay. And now they're very comfortable. They you know, it does take a little bit of time. The puppy was a little bit, you know, she really wanted to play with those birds, but eventually she stopped. And now they'll just hop down and jump on the dogs, and the dogs are like looking at them like this. And
do they talk to each other?
The birds tell the dogs to leave them alone or just go away. Yeah, definitely. At any rate, so I also wanted to mention that, you know, during the cold weather, you know, outdoor cats and wildlife might think that underneath the hood is a really nice warm spot to be. So really, if you leave your car outside, bang on it a little bit or make noise to give them a time to just get out from underneath your car.
Ah, very important.
Good ideas. So, you know, like I said, we encourage people to keep their dogs inside, but if you have to leave your dog out for any length of time, make sure they have adequate protection, shelter, you know, a shelter, a sturdy doghouse with straw bedding, because anything else would get kind of cold and wet. And have the door off center with a flap to keep out the wind, and face the doghouse south and raise it off the ground. And then I also wanted to mention that you should always give your animal, especially depending on the energy level, extra food and water during the winter months, because they need it. They burn a lot more calories.
Yeah, just staying warm.
Just staying warm, yeah. And if you do leave water outside, you might consider make sure that it doesn't freeze. That's something that people forget about. And there are these things that you can do to, you can keep the water, like for the birds. I have a heater for the bird bath that keeps
it. Oh, how wonderful. What a great idea.
Yeah, that it just keeps the water.
I'm going to get myself a Christmas present, and that's going to be a bird bath heater.
It's a great one.
That's great.
And the dogs like it too.
Is it solar?
It's not solar, but that's. I'm sure they should be inventing one like that.
They should be. I'm going to Google it.
So, yeah, just, you know, common sense in the winter is what we want. I mean, your dog probably really loves to be outside with you, but I remember just recently I took my dogs out for a quick walk, and they all came back. They just, like, lifted up their paws and looking at it going, like, what's this? It's cold. I love it when they do that because they think I can fix it, but I can't really.
Yeah, that my little terrier, Honey, gets very cold. The second we go into the dog park, she looks at me and she's shivering. And then we start running around, and she's a very, very happy dog and runs around and plays with other dogs and chases things. And pretty soon we're all happy and exercised.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, especially the first bit of snow, the dogs just go crazy. It's like being on the beach with them. You know, they just like, oh, this is something new. And they just, if they could, I don't know, can dogs make snow angels? Maybe so. They would be puppy angels? I don't know.
I think they roll around and they make something that looks kind of like
a big mess in the snow.
A cookie.
Yeah. So, you know, I've gotten a lot of calls lately about people concerned about dogs outside. And we at the shelter, we don't have an investigative branch for animal abuse. That's really the role of city and county animal control and animal services. So if people do see something and they're concerned about an animal, they should immediately call the authorities. They should call city animal control, and that number is 955-2701. It's animal services, actually. And county animal control, which is 992-1626. You can also, you know, our state is great. We have a lot of people who really care about animals. And we have the Attorney General's Animal Cruelty Task Force hotline. They'll answer it just about any time. And I don't have the 800 number, but it is 505-506-4000. And if you go on our website, you'll find that number, to the 800 number. There's also another animal cruelty line that APNM, Animal Protection New Mexico, runs, and it's 505-265-2322.
And I've witnessed some of this myself. It's people usually out of ignorance as opposed to out of malice, or often out of ignorance, they think it's okay to keep a dog on a chain, or they think it's okay to pick dogs up by their necks. You know, I mean, I've seen horrible things, and it's very hard to tell somebody in the moment because they become very defensive, and the role of the citizen, it's very tricky business. So, yeah, call the authorities.
Well, we always welcome those kind of opportunities to talk to people, create a dialogue, and talk to them about just about general animal care. It's not like, hey, your dog is really in serious trouble. It's like, you have a great dog, and you have a great relationship with your dog. And then you kind of move into what you think might be a right thing to say about animal protection and making sure that they're healthy and happy.
Yep.
That dogs on chains are an issue, and I understand why some people need to do it because they don't have a fenced yard. But very limited amounts of time, and that would be the best thing I can do. And to find, I wish we had a program that we could go in and fence everybody's yard for dogs. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be something. Some donor could help people fence their yards. It's not that hard to. I've seen people putting up sort of chicken wire fences.
Exactly.
And if the dog isn't. Half the time, the dog will just jump over, but if the dog is small enough, it can't jump over.
It's important to really take that into consideration, because we have had instances where dogs, our big dogs, can jump over the fence and they hurt other animals or people. You know, their prey instinct kicks in and they go after them. But
yeah.
Definitely, you know, take a look. You know, they don't need that much space. They do need to go outside, and they do need some protection from the winter elements.
And they need to be walked.
Yeah, any kind of physical activity or any kind of stimulation like that is great for a dog.
Yep.
And if your dog is giving you trouble, that's the reason why they are. They're just not having enough ability to just be creative and physically active.
Physically creative, it's true. If I get sick and get a cold and it's freezing and I don't go out for a few days, they start doing this thing that I call night barking.
What's that? Tell me.
They just bark half the night.
Oh, through the night. Yeah. Not just while you're sleeping. My dogs, usually when they see I'm sick, they say, oh, that's an opportunity to curl up next to Ben. But they do.
But they have so much physical energy that they don't know what to do with, that they just go out and bark at coyotes or bark at leaves falling or bark at the stars or whatever.
And if you are sick and you can't really, you know, do what you want to do with your dog, there are those great food puzzles and games that you can put food in these Kongs that the dog...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that stimulates them in a different way.
Yep.
So, yeah, and then winter, you know, winter is an awesome time, but it's also a difficult time at the shelter because we still have a lot of dogs and cats just waiting for homes.
Well, let's talk about that. You've got some holiday adoption specials.
Right, and one that we really love, is because it really connects a lot of loving families with dogs and cats, is a name your own adoption fee. So basically, people can come in and they say, we explain how expensive it is for the dogs, but people can really just whatever they have at the moment donate toward the dog or cat adoption fee, and it's theirs.
And they still have to go. They still have to be approved.
Exactly, and nothing changes. We have some adoption paperwork that they have to fill out, and we got to make sure that it's the right fit for the person.
Right.
And
matchmaking.
Matchmaking is
dog. Matchdog.com.
That's basically, we should change the animal shelter to, yeah, matchdog.com.
I bet it's been done.
It probably. well, we've always wanted to do like one of those quick matchmaking things. Like we still might do it in January or something like that, where you have 5 minutes with the dog, and you go to the next one, then you go to the next one, and you have wine and cheese or whatever the dog has, biscuits and stuff. But you really try to find a quick thing to see if you can make a match really quick. We think it would be a fun thing to do, but we haven't really quite gotten it together yet with that.
It turns out that matchdog.com is a residential heating and air conditioning place in Maryland.
You are so quick with your fingers on that internet.
Why they chose that, I don't know. But anyway, moving right along.
So, and what, in addition to our name your own price for your adoption, which is going to go through the whole month, for any animal. We did have it for adults, now it's just for any animal. We also have this really special, unique thing that we're doing on Christmas Eve, and that's for puppies and kittens. For people who adopt a puppy or kitten, we have a shelter worker, Dylan, who's really awesome, a big guy, who's going to dress up as Santa Claus. Oh, I shouldn't let that out. Santa Claus will be delivering these puppies and kittens to a select group of people. So
nice.
They should call the shelter, and people are really interested.
Is he going to go down the chimney or just come to the front door?
I think he's going to come down the front, come to the door with his elf.
Ah, his elf.
Yeah.
Is that you?
No. I don't know what kind of animal or character I'd make, but not an elf. And Madeline, I think, is going to be our elf. She's a very sweet woman.
Excellent.
And so, call the shelter and ask about that special. It's going to be really fun. 983-4309, extension 610, to ask about details about that. I did have one woman.
So you could have, if you've got a 7-year-old and the puppy is going to come to your house, you can get Santa to bring it?
Exactly. And that's kind of what we're encouraging. I mean, a lot of people are hesitant. A lot of shelters in the past have been hesitant to adopt during the holidays because they think it's an impulse thing. But we want people and parents to come and look for their children. And
so arrange it in advance.
Exactly.
But then on Christmas Eve, Santa will do his rounds.
He'll do a delivery.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
You guys are so creative.
It was a fun thing. It's something that Mary Martin, our executive director, has been wanting to do for a long time. And we just finally were able to think, you know, we're going to really do this. We're going to see if it works. And we think there's going to be people who want to do it as well. So that's great. And then I did want to talk a little bit about on Christmas Eve. We're having this event on the Farolito Walk at the Michael Hennington Fine Art Gallery parking lot. So that's where we're going to, I don't know, this is something new for you. Kakawa House has developed a special chocolate drink for us called Tzul, which is the Mayan word for dog. And when you buy that chocolate, a percentage of the, like 50 cents goes to the shelter.
Nice.
So you'll have samples. We'll have samples at this during the Farolito Walk.
I bet it's really good.
It's actually really good. Yeah, Tony Bennett is one of the co-founders of the Kakawa House, and he just made it up for me just recently, and it's delicious. It's really spicy, but it's really Mesoamerican kind of a drink.
Yeah.
So, and I think that was he's an animal lover, and everybody there at Kakawa House are animal lovers, and so they said, let's do something for the shelter. And so they developed this idea, and that's what we're doing.
That's a beautiful thing.
So we'll also have other things to buy there, you know, the special hot chocolate drink, and we'll have nuts. We'll have all kinds of things like pet Christmas gifts to buy, and these are stockings filled with pet gifts, and then canine Christmas outfits and accessories and holiday pet collars. So it's going to be fun. We'll also have porta potties at the spot. I thought that would be, you know, so people can just take a break and support the animal shelter.
Very wonderful. Now, are there any pets of the week?
You know, yes, of course. I was going to say something funny, but I decided not to. I also, in addition to our name your own adoption fee, we always have pets, dogs and cats and rabbits that people really love, like volunteers or school children, and so they agree to pay for the adoption fee of the animal. And these animals are essentially free. You go in and you say, oh, I want that dog. And they'll say, guess what? Somebody loved this dog so much, like you, that they are willing to pay for their adoption fee. And so, like I said, nothing changes. We have to make sure it's the right fit. But it's essentially you just have to buy their license. So, and two of the dogs, and every day through Christmas, we're going to be featuring a dog and a cat, or two dogs and two cats, on Facebook and our website. Of these really special dogs, where their adoption fees are waived. And today I wanted to talk about Odie.
Odie.
And Scooby-Doo. And if you go on their website, you'll see that they have, you know, holiday outfits on, because we're trying to get as much.
Is Odie Garfield's cat's name?
It's their dog.
Garfield is the cat. Yeah. It's Garfield's dog's name.
Yeah. So both of these dogs have been at the shelter for a while, and volunteers and other people who really love them have decided to sponsor their fee in hopes of finding, you know, connecting them with great families. Now, Scooby-Doo is a blessing. He's a really great dog. He's a little bit bigger. He's a Shar-Pei mix, like my boy Zach. I bet he's tan in color, and he's kind of energetic, but that's only because he wants to connect so much with somebody. But on a walk or anywhere else, he's just a really sweet, sweet guy. And then Odie is a terrier mix, and he looks kind of intimidating, but he's just a love bug. It's just amazing how some of these dogs can look, you know, they have these faces, and you're going like, oh my gosh, but it's like, because they want to lick you.
Right. They want to lick you.
They want to lick you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. And then I did want to talk about Sebastian. Sebastian is one of our volunteers, Jackie's favorites, and this is a really sweet cat.
That's a beautiful cat. It's gray and white and has just a beautiful face and green cat eyes.
Yeah.
Being
a cat, yeah. Well, they do have unique eyes and their unique personalities. And this cat is just waiting for the right person to love. So I just wanted to bring everybody's attention to Sebastian.
Well, Ben Swan is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. That's on the web at sfhumane.org. And the phone number is
983-4309. If you want to talk to adoptions, it's extension 610.
983-4309. Ben Swan, thank you for everything you do for the animals, and thanks for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.